Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 607. We talked in the last shir about some of the detriments of our society that are sources of many of our Shalom Bayis problems. And the next one is the myth of romance. Now, I want to make it very, very clear that the word romance is misused, but it doesn't mean that the aspects of warmth and caring, and even excitement for each other, and excitement even in the physical attraction of each other, and the physical sexual pull and connection to each other. That's all healthy. In the right context, all of this is healthy. So when we're bashing romance, which we're going to do, okay, it doesn't mean, and it's very important for all of you to know this, because very often, you know, those of you that, you know, fell into watching these type of romance movies or books get drawn into it, and then you say to yourself inside, but okay, you know, maybe a lot of it, you know, is intuitively not healthy and counterproductive, but there is a certain, sometimes portrayed, a warmth, a caring, a healthy excitement, spark that pulls you. And what I want to say is that it's very important to know in marriages, you have those positive elements in the best real way. The warmth, the caring, the excitement, emotionally and physically as well, and sexually as well. But the idea, though, is that in the secular society, there's that complete radical difference than Torah Hashkafa that has a tremendous negative influence in our mindset to make a happy and successful married life. It's totally materialistic, often. It's based on this romance self-gratification of one's desires. The way they market it and the way it is, that's the concept. To make you feel good, to fill your ego, to self-gratification of your own ultimate desires. So a couple, however, in reality, they live under the same roof, right? And they pay their bills and they raise their children. But if you don't have values in there, you'll pursue your own lifestyle. So what binds them? Just that commitment, which is a shaky foundation. Every spouse approaches marriage as a taker. He or she expects the other spouse to fulfill their needs and their desires. And even when you're kind to the other one, and you care about the other one, and you show niceness to the other one, it's very, very clear that the purpose of all this is to get what you want. Like a business partnership, right? And ultimately, if you feel that your partner is not fulfilling your needs, and you can find a partner that can better fulfill your needs, you switch partners. And desires often wane, they go up and down. So if you are in that mode of pleasure seeking, you'll always try to find new sources to satisfy your desires. And that will destroy Shalom Bayis and cause divorces. And what you're chasing, you'll never get. And I mentioned this several times, that I was very idealistic as a teenager. Didn't know that romance, the way portrayed in society, was not the real thing. But I still had an extreme idealism, not recognizing the realities of what marriage is, assuming that by me it'll be, or by all, you know, we all think this way. Many of us think this way, that everything will be without problems and we'll figure everything out and there'll never be bumps in the road. You know, even though you know in reality it's not the case, but Rav Ignon Miller, he used to talk a lot about those bumps in the road to Bachrim and to young girls listening, that, and he removed that concept from us. And initially I was disappointed with that. It sort of like bursts the bubble of what your image in marriage should be in that most beautiful way you're thinking about it. But it was the best thing. It was the best thing, because then you ground it in reality and you know that this is what you have to do. You know, in the secular world, there's no concept that a successful marriage depends on perfecting your own midos. They're oblivious to the fact that there's a Yetzirah there, trying to challenge your marriage, trying to get your ego there and to seek your own needs primarily, which destroys your marriage. And secular romance novels, full of immorality, full of fiction, full of things that mislead a person about the healthy realities of true marriage. And what, if you want to use the word romance, of what it really is supposed to be like. The concept of working on midos bein adam l'chaveray, the concept of chesed, the concept of mutual respect, of idealism, the idealism of building a beautiful mishpacha with many children and building a home and Torah ideals to pass to the next generation, mutual responsibility, loyalty, hakaras hatoiv between the spouses. So when you have that mindset that you're going to have beautiful things in marriage, but it's a stage of life that's towards your shlemus, and the way you get that shlemus is by facing challenges and overcoming challenges with a menuchas nefesh, with a simcha, but you have to learn that these are real challenges. So working towards a successful marriage is no less than striving to perfect your own character in mitzvahs or staying away from averis. When you're working on your avodas Hashem in any other area in life, in increasing your Torah, your avoda, and your gemilas chasadim, the working on your marriage and working things through with your spouse, that is shlemus. That is tikkun amidos. That success involves the compromising and the conceding. And often you ignore those minor issues. You let things go. So it's very, very important. Another aspect that also is a problem is the idea of lack of proper guidance as a chasam kala. So it's important to teach the laws of Taras HaMishpacha, to receive guidance about not just the halachas of it, but to explain these concepts of how spouses have different natures and how to cope with the difficulties of adjusting. A big yesod, Rav Moshe Aaron Stern told this author, Rav Chaim Morgenstein, that every chassan and kala should be aware of potential situations that cause contention between them. So when those situations arise, the couple will know it's normal, because if they don't, not taught this, they're not taught about the normal potential bumps in the road. Then when the bumps come, they hit the panic button. Not my zivig, it's a disaster, everything's falling apart, and then they overreact. And if they are aware of the bumps in the road, and when it comes, this is a normal part of marriage, and we'll work through, because otherwise they'll think it's not a normal way of what marriage should be. And they'll start having second thoughts about each other for no reason. So the idea is, very often, one of the first questions of Chaim Morgenstern said that the quarreling couple asks them, are we the only couple that has Shalom Bayis problems? No, you're not the only one. Avigdor Milo also once said it's important to know that obviously it's better not to quarrel. It's not to fight. It's better not to talk in those ways where you end up fighting that way. Okay? So ideally, l'ketchila, it's better not to. But he said many, many times, if that happens and when that happens, it's not the end of the world. It's a pity that it occurs. But it could be reduced, and you got to work on it. But you don't hit a panic button when that happens. You just know it's not the end of the world, and we're going to adjust, and we're going to work, and we'll get to the goal. Aaron Feldman once told the author that even if a couple receives proper premarital hadracha, at that point it's only theory. And only theory, and it only covers certain situations, but when you get married, it becomes reality, and you need further advice, and you need hadracha. The hadracha has to continue after marriage. During the dating period, the chasan kala is smiling, happy, cheerful, they wouldn't say a harsh word or criticize, they wouldn't show an unpleasant faced each other. Even when the kala experiences her monthly hormonal disturbances, somehow she'll overcome it and keep a pleasant composure while she's dating. A chassan, same thing, under pressure still. Normally he would be irritated to no end, but he pushes himself to project a positive image when meeting and speaking to his kala, right? So, but when a chassan and kala were told during the premarital hadracha about reacting and coping with the irritable spouse, it falls on deaf ears because they can't imagine that scenario. So Feldman advised that when a couple settles down after they're taught by their chassan and kala teachers, They need to, after marriage, go back to them and discuss how to apply that hadracha to the individual situations that they're needing, that they need now, that they need to work on now. And again, every situation is different, and every couple is different, and every thing that, you know, different things need to be worked based on the different marriages. So here, that's a very, very important idea. There's other things about how to be careful with the parents' interference and in-laws' interference and midas rois that you're exhibiting, which we'll talk about in later shiurim based on this book. But this is a very important thing. It's good to have idealism, and marriage, yes, has those beautiful things, but it will never be perfect. You know, in Olam Haba, Yemayisam Hashiach, that's when you have perfection. So even in the best of times and in the best of marriages, there'll always be points where you won't feel so connected, or there won't be that feeling of shleimus or oneness, and there will be some bumps in the road and challenges. All of this is normal and beautiful, and you could yet experience all the happy, positive things. Like we said, when we say, even Rav Avigdor Miller, he was misunderstood when he bashed marriages, romance marriages, obviously, and he made fun of it, and he explained all the crude things you get, you know, when you have the smelly breath and the dirty laundry and a bathroom that smells and all the regular things, like everything, all this idealism of what you think marriage is falls out the window. He didn't mean to demean marriage, chas v'shalom. He just meant to put a person into the reality of life, of regular life, and not let that disturb you, but rather work through things in a healthy way. And then when that happens, you will indeed enjoy those beautiful, healthy warmth and caring and excitement, and all this will take place. But you can't look at it that you are just looking for that for your own ego or just to feel good, but rather because of what Hashem wants from you, and to work through the midos that you need to work on. Bracha v'atzlacha.